Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Junk Time AFL Podcast for Round 1 2024. We are coming to you from Wayne Jackson Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain and joining me is a man who is right behind the one and only Kane Corns. It is Adam Rosenbarks.
G'day Michael, g'day Junk Timers. What a fantastic round of footy. We have officially started the AFL season with all the teams playing and I am... Kane was angry and so was I. He was ropeable about the fact that Jack Ginnivan chose to wear long sleeves on a 29-degree day in Melbourne. And I'm going to say, I am 100% with you, Kano, because he said, you know, Jack Ginnivan started out on fire first half, two goals, about 14, 15 touches, faded out in the second half. And that had nothing to do with Essendon at halftime making an adjustment and going, hey, this guy's, you know, doing really well. Maybe we should play a little bit tighter on him. Nothing to do with that.
No.
The Essendon coaches would have sat back and gone, don't worry about it, fellas. Mm-hmm. He's wearing long sleeves. The guy's fucking cooked himself. And he will not be out. He hasn't got zinc cream on. He's not wearing a hat.
No.
This guy is going to have heat stroke easily into the third quarter. Don't even go near him. He's not going to be able to perform.
Because I know for a fact, like the AFL jumpers, like they don't do any testing on whether it's, you know, a pleasure to wear in hot weather. Like,
no,
they don't want to make them as light as possible. Don't want to make them as airy as possible. They want to make sure that, you know, they not only do they get extra heavy when it's wet,
yes,
but they're extra hot when it's hot.
Yeah, they are built to trap heat in. That's what many people don't know about them. Like, if you... Jack Ginnivan could easily get off an icebreaker in Antarctica and run around in a long-sleeve Hawthorn jumper, and he wouldn't even know he was down in Antarctica.
Yep, sure. He does some deep-sea fishing for king crabs. Mm. Yeah, he cuts in the ice in the lake, and then he goes down. He just wears the Hawthorn jumper and the shorts. It's quite remarkable.
Yeah, he's fine. And I think Kane Corns has a point. You know, who else wore long sleeves? Michael Tuck, useless in all but one of his games, and that one was the one they lost in the 1986 grand final when it was 30 degrees and he decided to go short sleeve. He was pathetic in all other 7,000 games that he played in because he wore long sleeves.
I'm trying to think of the other players who are renowned for wearing long sleeves. There aren't really too many that jump to mind immediately.
Stephen Silvani didn't mind long sleeve.
Yep.
Cade Simpson was another Carlton player who always wore the long sleeves. I think people are okay with the long sleeve player if they wear it in all types of weather.
Yeah. Didn't Ange wear long sleeves all the time?
Yeah. Ange Christou obviously was another one. Yeah. There's been quite a few cut ones because, you know, when you see it in the winter, everyone goes, oh, they're soft, mate.
Yeah.
Fuck,
yeah.
They can't handle it. They can't handle it.
Well, that was the big thing with Clarko, that you weren't allowed to wear them. That's why it became a bit of a thing. I think I might have even been the first game that Clarko didn't coach, and I think it might have been Wingard who broke out the long sleeves. But I think they were going down for a particularly cold game in Tassie, and Clarko drew the line and said, no one's wearing bloody on the sleeves today, and that kind of just stuck. But they had funny rules like Clarko didn't do the Gatorade Bukkake at Hawthorn because there was a player who got bikakied and then got a cold.
Is that right?
Yeah, I can't remember the name who it was. Might have been Simpkin or something like that. Anyway, that
wouldn't have gone down well with Clarko.
He got
one, that they were wasting Gatorade, that they bikakied someone, and two, that some soft player couldn't handle a chilled, ice cold blue blast.
Yeah, it just annoys me that it didn't get into the press more and that we didn't get the headline on the front page of the Herald Sun. Bukkake ban.
So based on Kane Corns' logic then, if Jack Ginnivan shouldn't be wearing long sleeves at halftime, like during a hot day, that means all players should wear long sleeves on a cold day to counteract, right?
Now,
so anyone who runs out in short sleeves in the middle of winter should be seen as not doing their body a service because they are going to be, you know, cold and you're more prone. Like, you should be wearing long johns.
Yeah, on a Saturday night.
Serve your hamstrings.
On a Saturday night in Canberra. Now, Adam, I see what you're doing here, and it's very cynical what you're doing. Are you trying to suggest that Kane Corns just randomly thinks up shit to say that he just, you know, makes the most outlandish statement he can possibly make just to possibly get a few clicks, get a few callers coming in onto SEN?
Look, that's not the Kane Corns that I know and love. I have no doubt that Kane Corns would have been there at three-quarter time on the field with a little temperature gun just on the side of Jack Ginnivan's head and just done the little test, put it in the ear and gone, you're running 0.2 degrees hotter than everyone else on this field, mate. Therefore, that is why you're not getting a touch.
I didn't really feel it during the game because I wasn't exactly moving around a great deal. I did go. It was actually great to be back at the footy with a full 73,000 people. It was really cool to be back around a crowd that they're all very keen. We're very excited. We haven't had our dreams crushed yet. You know, Essendon supporters.
Way to being crushed.
Essendon supporters are there going, I mean, they get on, maybe just one, maybe this year we win a final. Hey, maybe this year we win a final. And even though, you know, I wasn't thrilled to see them happy at the end of the day, but as I was leaving the ground, going to walk through the car park, a few Taylor Gators were struggling there, still singing with the friendship bracelets. But I did really begin to feel it. I was like, oh boy, what would it have been like to be out there playing?
What was it like as a Hawthorn supporter having to support Jack Ginnivan? Because, you know, there was one, I think it was in the second quarter, I watched a little bit of that game because my life is going very well. And I was home on a Saturday afternoon and I saw there was one where Ginnivan kind of shrugged into a tackle and then he kicked a goal anyway, but turned around to the umpire and was like, hey, that should have been a free. And the umpire was like, no, you ducked into it, mate.
Yeah.
You've got a filthy ducker on your team.
I know. It's a bitter pill to swallow. He got the ball the first time and the Essendon fans booed him. And I wouldn't be surprised if there are a few Hawthorn fans in there as well. But the Essendon fans booed him and then he kicked that one round the corner. And look, he's very impressive for that first half, you know. And he does provide it. You know what he will be? You know, they used to have the, I think it was the Junior Rioli Club and that was like the kids' membership.
Right.
He will become our kids' ambassador, I reckon, guaranteed. Because, you know, the kids will like him, the teenagers will like him. He's got a bit of flair, kicked the goal, did the salute to the crowd.
So basically what you're saying is we are bringing up another generation of obnoxious, hateable Hawthorn supporters,
well,
which
that's
is great.
The thing. That's the thing. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's like it's that thing where you, and look, he'll be good for us, I'm sure. But, you know, let's just ignore that he got immediately rejected by a team that just won the premiership that he played in. But nothing to see here. It's going to take a while.
And how do you feel the Hawks will go on field? I watched kind of that first half and it seemed like a pretty free-flowing kind of game. Do you think
it was
the Hawks can do anything or are they going to be, you know, top 15 team?
Oh, look, I'm always keeping my mind focused on the next three.
Are you bullish?
Oh, I'm bullish,
Adam. Are you bullish?
I'm bullish about the next threesome. Threesome, three-peat, sorry. Talking about Ginnivan again.
Nice. Freudian slip.
No, I think it'll be okay. Like, obviously you'd love to make finals with them, but like, I think kind of top half of the bottom of the ladder. But, you know, I think we're on the up and up. And if we can get a few players not on the field at the minute. But, you know, Chole had an impressive debut. Ginnivan had an impressive debut. We're trying to will the Wizard of Waverley to get a goal, but he couldn't get one. I think we're going to be okay. But, yeah, in a couple of years' time.
And you were there. Well, what do you think of Essendon's chances? Is this the year that they break their you know, two-decade-long drought?
They actually looked all right. I'll tell you what, it was. You don't get too many games like this, but one of the reasons we couldn't get away, we'd get a goal and then they would immediately turn around and get a goal. It wasn't like they'd get one 5 minutes later. Like, they'd get it out in the middle and get a goal straight away. So we can never quite get ahead. And then they overrun us in that last quarter. But I don't know. I mean, you know, the logic of teams is that eventually they're going to have to be good, you know. Like, I mean, actually reading about Brendan Gale the other day, they're talking about him maybe going and being the CEO at the Tasmanian team. And you remember that, like, what is it, 5-year plan or 10-year plan they put out? And everyone was just like, oh, you are fucking kidding me. And then didn't they hit every mark?
Well, yes, they did. And every team now has got their, you know, their 5-year, 3-year plan. It's like, why is everyone doing it? Isn't everyone's plan to win a fucking flag?
Wasn't your club just putting 5-year plans out like every 6 months or something? They'd put one out and go, okay, that's not going to work. Okay, we'll change the goal a little bit. Didn't you put out a bunch?
We needed something.
Our
plan was to get 6 number one draft picks in 5 years, and we did it. The bag has nailed it.
But you went to the game on Thursday as well, didn't you?
I did. It was great. I think there was like 83,000 there. Mm-hmm. And Richmond hung around a lot longer than everyone would have thought they would. Carlton should have put him away in the second quarter. But it was nice to be back at the MCG. But everyone's talked about over the weekend, is that Carlton's last 6 wins have all been within a kick. And it'd just be nice to put a team away.
Yeah, sure. You're the new Collingwood. There you go. You're winning the tight ones.
I mean, I'll take that over, you know, 2 years ago, we were losing those tight ones. So I will take it. But I've got to say, you know, you're back again, and then there's what halftime activation are we going to come up with? At least we're not playing music after goals, so that's something. We do the lights, so you can kind of cope with that, because unless you've got epilepsy, it's okay.
Yeah.
But at halftime, they were like, oh, you voted for your favourite song. You had a choice of 3 songs, and I can't remember what they were. And you had a choice of 3 songs, and whoever voted for the you know, whatever was voted the most, we all did karaoke at halftime.
Love
it. Like, fucking do we have to do? It was a Taylor Swift song, and they're cutting to people in the crowd, and you know they're just talking to their friends. Not everyone's singing along. Why do they persist?
Which Taylor Swift song?
I've no idea.
Which era? Can you guess which era?
No, I genuinely don't know.
Sure,
I reckon I could name "Shake It Off," and then I'm
so sure. They had the words bouncing on the scoreboard.
They do have the words bouncing on the scoreboard, but unless you know the song, it's pretty hard to pick up the rhythm of it in front of 83,000 people to go, oh, fuck, I'm on camera. I'm looking in the wrong direction. I'm looking at the big screen and not where the camera is. I'm trying to follow it along. It's just, can we just not fucking do it? I don't like karaoke at the best of times. Yeah. I don't need to do it with 83,000 people.
Yeah, we had, I think it might have been 3-quarter time. We had, I think it was the Flash running from one 50-meter line to the other 50-meter line against a punter. And the Flash... the punter got out of the gates with a false start, and then the Flash was like, all right, mate. And, yeah, won by about 50 metres. Yeah, but I don't know what you won. Probably, yeah, 10 grand or something. I don't know. But I imagine the Flash is hard to beat.
At 3-quarter time, they had this fucking bizarre car race on the LED lighting along the boundary.
Oh, okay.
Which is like 3 different cars racing along. One had Patrick Cripps, one had Adam Sard, and I can't remember who was in the third one. But it was like... It was more rigged than the animated Greyhounds. It was like, fucking, how do I get on this? How am I betting on this? It was fucking terrible.
Did you win a meet trade like the Gold Coast Suns, like we were talking last week?
Yeah. I didn't see anyone win anything. They're like, Patrick Cripps has won. You're like, you know what? I think the captain probably should win.
This happens.
I wonder if the players notice that as they're standing there. They go, what is that bullshit?
Yeah. I mean, I can handle a kick the ball into a bucket to win 100 grand. That's got a bit of something about it. I remember when that happened at the Giants games, and like Heath Shaw and Nick Fiolas were going, fucking hell. But I told this one years ago when it happened. I think it was about 2018 or something like that. But I remember going to a game and fucking Vanessa Amorosi came out and performed at halftime.
Really?
Yeah, she came out. And it wasn't on the stage. You know the stage where Meatloaf performed? That top of that race kind of thing. No, she came out kind of... I don't know, kind of almost behind the goals. They had a little stage or whatever. And she came out, did 3 numbers. She must have had a new album coming out or something like that. And I think it was against Richmond. I was like, mate, the fucking Richmond are fucking embarrassing. Bringing Vanessa Amorosi out at halftime to perform. Yeah. And then I was like, no, it's a Hawthorn home game. That's our check going to her.
Yeah, that's yours.
But I mean, I don't think she'd want to be there either. Like, it wasn't a blockbuster game. It was probably, I mean, I'm sure it was a decent crowd. But like, she doesn't want to be there at 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon, half time of a game that you're forced upon people. Like, it's not like we go because we want to see Vanessa Amorosi at half time.
It's like all of a sudden here she is. When's half time going to hit? What time's Vanessa Amorosi on?
Yeah, blow the whistle.
Did they at the at the start of your game, and they did this on Friday night, Thursday night, it might have worked slightly better. Did you have fireworks as the teams ran out on Saturday afternoon?
I didn't see the teams run out, but I'm going to presume maybe for a daytime game they wouldn't bother with that, surely.
Surely, oh, come on. It's the AFL, mate. They definitely bother with that kind of stuff.
No, so I got there. Actually, I got there as they were tossing the coin. I saw a friend of the show, Broden Kelly, from Auntie Donna.
Oh, okay.
He's been going to a few games.
He's an Elwood supporter. What was he doing there?
Well, that's the thing. I think he went to the Carlton game as well. So he must be. Maybe he's just getting up and close and personal for podcast material.
Yeah, okay.
No, eventful day had by all, and we got Melbourne next week. And then they're the only two I can go to because of my work schedule, so I got to take advantage of them while I can.
And because you're doing a cheeky little comedy festival show.
Oh, that's right, I'm doing a cheeky little comedy festival show. Tickets can be found at trybooking.com. Michael Chamberlain's completely incomplete history of Australian rules. Blockbuster season last year, so now I get to do 8 shows instead of the 4, Saturday and Sunday, at the Cooper's Inn in Exhibition Street. Saturday and Sunday. Tickets can be found at Try Booking. And actually, I'm doing promo for it and all that kind of jazz. And I believe it's going to be in the, but I wrote an article for the Footy Record.
Did you?
Yeah. So nice. I haven't been told that it's not going to be printed next week.
And okay, what's your article about?
It's about some of the teams that possibly nearly came into the league over the history.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, I mean, it's more a PC version of what I would say on stage. Or yeah, change. Okay. I had to change a few jokes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You claimed it up for the Footy Record.
So, published author, Adam.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah.
So,
well,
yes,
I think it will.
Get along to see Chambers' show, trybooking.com. Now, Harley Reid, as we speak, we are recording during the Port Adelaide West Coast game, third quarter. Port Adelaide up by 5 goals. Harley Reid has only had it, looks like 9 times at the moment. So is that 12 times he's had it? He's had it 12 times as we get near three-quarter time. Is that a bust, Michael?
I think he's the new Jack Watts. I think it's fair to
say,
need to call it now, that the man, while we don't know anything about his swimming capabilities, on the football field, it might be time for, I think maybe North are happy that he didn't. He didn't choose to stay in Melbourne.
I mean, if he hasn't had 30 by three-quarter time, is kind of, I don't know, you go back to the drawing board. Do they put him up for, put him up for sale now and just say, hey, we're shopping him around? You might probably get a second-round pick back for him.
I think you're right. We have a mid-season draft, don't we? Trade period?
They'll probably bring it in for this purpose, to be able to get Harley Reid off their hands. Like the AFL will step in and be like, Jesus, we've really got to help the West Coast Eagles out here.
It's not a good look. If you're bottom of the ladder and you bring in, let's face it, one of the greatest spuds in the history of the game. I mean, I actually can't see Adam Simpson lasting till round 2. I think heads will roll over the coast.
I mean, the fact that he gifted him a game.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And he's only had 5 kicks and 7 handballs. I mean, what kind of ratio is that? Too scared to kick it.
Is this a make-a-wish thing or something? Like, are we...
Yeah, it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad.
But there's... The pressure... I reckon Harley strikes me as a bloke with
pressure.
A good head.
Pressure? Name one bit of pressure. Sure, he had the whole back page of the West Australian dedicated to him as bought by his sponsor before he'd played a game.
Yeah.
And that they were able to pay off a newspaper and go, hey, we need the back page, buddy.
Well,
and West Australian went, editorially, great idea. We love it.
Puma took out a full page ad. It's a black ad with the Puma logo and doesn't say, good luck, Harley.
Yes.
Good luck, Harley. So that's the back page of the West Australian. I think it's the Times, on Sunday Times on a Sunday, but essentially the West Australian. Yeah. Puma took it out.
It says a back page without the pressure. Good luck, mate. I reckon by buying someone a whole page.
I know.
And blacking it out and making it about them, I reckon that's a little bit of pressure. I've never had a whole newspaper bought for me, but I reckon I would feel the heat.
That's real LeBron James stuff, isn't it? Kind of someone who's come up through high school or college and they're like, being the number one outstanding pick. Like, that's real American stuff, isn't it? Like,
How good do you reckon it would be as a first round draft pick? You haven't played a game. You've already got a massive sponsor on board. Like, what do you reckon he could get out of Puma, because they would obviously pay him, you know, the AFL have said, yep, you can pay him a certain amount. It's outside the salary cap. Mm-hmm. But what do you reckon Harley Reid asked for? Like, because there's only a certain amount of runners you can have. What do you just load up because you go, my career is going to be short.
What are Puma
doing?
How
many pairs of boots? How many pairs of shoes? How many leisure suits can I get out of this before my career is over?
Are Puma just doing apparel? They're not doing maybe gear, like in terms of like they don't make tennis rackets or anything like that, or, you know, rollerblades or hockey sticks?
Is there a Puma cricket bat? I don't know.
I reckon there might be a Puma cricket bat, or it's a cricket bat that just has Puma sponsorship on it.
Mm.
I agree with you that there's only so many things, but I reckon he would be like he probably would have been at high school if he had the Puma deal. He would have been king of the kids. He would be handing out shoes everywhere.
Yeah.
So everyone would be his best mate because they want the free gear.
Well, Puma do a cricket bat for only $800. So if I was Harley, I would be going, hey, Puma, I love my cricket.
Love it.
I fucking love it, mate. I love it. Mate. And what I'm going to need is about, and I break a lot of bats.
Yep, so I've got a temper.
So if I could have like 4 or 5 a week and then bingo bango, Harley Reid down at the Subiaco Markets,
that's
come to me boot, how much you want? He just goes around, sets up cricket clubs. Hey, whole boot full, $3,000 cash, yours, take it.
Or if you see a Riley Heed on Facebook Marketplace, like selling a bunch of cricket bats, well, we know who that is, okay?
Yeah. Yeah, and I'd get on board because those bats are brand new and been unused.
So a cricket bat, do you reckon that's average price for a cricket bat nowadays? I've got no idea what a cricket bat would go for, like a decent one.
I reckon they're at least $500 or $600 if you need a kaboom, I think they're about $700.
Mm-hmm. Harley was already pretty famous before he even got drafted though. Like last year, I mean, I imagine he'd be all over the TikTok. I just said the TikTok. But what I meant was like the social media experience. So he was getting photos taken, you know, last year when people knew he was going to be the number one pick. So he was already quite the – he was probably the Bailey Smith who hadn't played a game yet.
Yeah. How many people do you reckon have already dropped off? They've just seen to three-quarter time 12 posies.
I'm getting reports that people are leaving the ground and actually throwing their membership on the ground, Richmond style.
Yeah.
I'm predicting
big
drop.
They've gone all the way to Adelaide and they've just gone, this hasn't been worth it, you know.
People looking up Dockers.
We changed time zones for this motherfucker and look what's happened.
They're looking up Dockers memberships. That's what I'm hearing. Hey, friend of the show is getting into a bit of acting.
I mean, it was about time. I can't believe it's taken this long. But Ricky Nixon is going to star as a gangster in a Squizzy Taylor TV series. Now, Squizzy Taylor was a Melbourne gangster from like the 1920s, is that right?
He was, yeah. He got shot in the end and he died. I remember Bob Pratt said that he offered money, I think via other people. He said Squizzy Taylor was behind it, got offered money to throw a grand final. And Bob was an old man at the time. The only problem being that Squizzy had been murdered about 5 years before that happened. So it wasn't him exactly. But Ricky Nixon's going to play the role of gangster Thomas Moran in a series called...
And this is the range that Ricky has, right? He's going to play the role of this gangster, but the gangster is an amputee. And that... Because I don't know if you've seen Ricky, but he really has all of his legs. Yes. And this is how good an actor that he is. He goes, fucking don't worry about it. You need me to lose a leg. People won't even notice. You'll have to shoot me from directly front on for no reason, but just never move to the side or behind me. But I am going to have, and if I do have a pant that's pinned, one leg is going to look slightly enormous with my part of my bottom will look like my foot. But that's just the method acting that I can do.
He's going to play a character called Thomas Moran, who is known as Tommy the Nut, who was actually believed to have family links to the infamous Moran brothers from the 1990s, from the underbelly world, those Morans.
Shit, fucking hell.
Holy shit. So it runs in the
family. Quite the lineage.
I think, you know, Ricky, with all of his court appearances and like over the journey.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I actually get a feeling that he's not doing anything wrong. He's researching the role.
Playing the long game.
Yeah. Researching the role, see how to interact with police, you know, what's it like to be, you know, slammed up against the side of a car.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he would have said to the people when they said, "Hey, we're casting you as a thing, as a gangster," and he goes, "Did this gangster ever sell vaccinations out of a pub?" And they're like, "No, I don't believe so." You know, did he sell tuberculosis vaccinations above a pub? And they're like, "Yeah, I don't think so." Did he live above a ye olde bakery? And they're like, "No, that didn't happen either." He goes, "Well, if he did, I'm fucking nailed it." Did he ever publish his own book?
Yep.
And this would have been difficult in the 1920s. Did he put in that book a link to YouTube
which
hadn't, you know, obviously been created yet? But
I wish him all the luck. I'm gonna say TV show. I'm gonna call it now. This is gonna sweep the Logies and it's gonna sweep the Emmys. It's gonna be a new lease of life for Ricky Nixon.
Yeah, I'd see him in a Hollywood blockbuster. He'll be in, you know, he'd be in like the next series of White Lotus or something. I reckon that's coming down.
Yeah, Barbie 2 playing a Ken. I can picture that.
Oh yeah.
You know, why would you go for Ryan Gosling when you can have Ricky Nixon right there?
Exactly, yeah. You know, and Ryan Gosling's over here in Australia so much. Why bother, mate? Stay home. Yep. We've got you covered, buddy.
Hey, footballers in real life, Adam?
Yes, I've got one. I had one on Friday morning. I saw Essendon midfielder Will Setterfield in a cafe North Fitzroy.
Another cafe. So, no conversation this time. You probably don't feel you have the connection with him, like...
No, he played at Carlton, so I kind of felt like I would have, he would have seen me at something, one of the functions that I'd hosted for the Blues, but as I was walking out, I said, "Good luck tomorrow, mate," and he said, "Thanks, man, I really appreciate it."
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh. I had a presumed footballer in real life, so I don't know who it was, but... just by chance, I walked past the offices of Paul Connors, the manager.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And out the front, there was a bloke who, if he wasn't a footballer, he should be cast as a footballer in the Ricky Nixon TV show because he was 6'5". Everything about him looked like he was a footballer, but I just couldn't put my finger on who he actually was.
Yeah, right. So you didn't take a photo, you know, reverse Google image it, that kind of thing?
Nah, it was all a bit quick for that. And also,
yeah, okay.
I'm not a creep. But yeah, but I reckon, yeah, I mean, if you actually wanted to go and get the motherload of footballers in real life, I imagine just go and sit in the car at the front of Paul Connors' management place. You'd have them coming in and out all the time, wouldn't you?
Yeah, no, definitely do that.
Yeah. from Nicholas. Thought I'd offer a second-hand football in real life.
Oh, I like this. Second-hand is good. Any kind of hand. We don't mind third-hand, fourth-hand.
Absolutely.
Someone you know got in touch, let us know.
My girlfriend is a nurse at a hospital in Perth. She mentioned that she works with a pharmacist called Luke, who is a former footballer. She knows very little about football, so wasn't sure who he was, but we eventually figured out that footballer was, in fact, Fremantle legend and Hawthorn legend, Luke McFarlane.
Oh, there you go.
Though I've never met him, according to my girlfriend, he's a very lovely guy and very good at his job.
That is good to know. If you're ever in Perth and you need a little bit of the fucking good stuff, a bit of the Sudafed with the fucking keep me up during the day stuff, I reckon Lukey McFarlane sounds like he's good at his
job. We can absolutely guarantee you, in his role as a pharmacist, Luke McFarlane will provide you with copious amounts of Sudafed and they'll be off the books.
Get there. You won't even ask for your fucking license. Just
no.
Go for it.
Just to remind him, a comedy festival show at trybooking.com. Another one from Michael. Not like another show from Michael. Game day here for Suns versus Adelaide. It's 11 a.m. Game starts at 7. Just saw Dimmer at Bunnings in Burleigh.
Whoa.
Looking very relaxed, had a box with some garden shears and fertilizer and assorted garden stuff.
Mm.
Didn't get a chance to look at the brands to see if he went top end or budget price entry level. Seeing his contract means he's doing very well, I suspect, top end.
Well, two things there. That is a very relaxed coach, as Michael points out. Thank you for that, Michael. To be at Bunnings and not be thinking about the Adelaide midfield and the rotations you're going to be making and who might be the sub, or does he go there and he thinks about it as he's wandering through Bunnings? Or does he talk to the people at Bunnings? Do they come up and they go, "Can we help you out?" So he goes, "Yeah, should I play Matt Rowell on the ball? Should he go to someone? Should he tag? Should Tuuk Miller shut down, you know, Matt Crouch? That kind of stuff.
I actually reckon you're right on the money. I think for all of Dimmer's premiership success over the years can be put down to the staff at Bunnings. And that's,
yeah.
I mean, I reckon that's why he's a bit of a charade. Like,
yeah,
you know, we'd be calling into question his record. Like, who's actually coaching the Richmond or the Giants? Like, are you a puppet, mate? Are you a puppet? Yeah. You're just getting your little hints from mile three.
Remember last year, he said he's tried to cook the sausages 1,000 ways and he ran out.
Yeah.
Clearly, someone had stopped going to Bunnings. Because if you want to know how to fucking cook a sausage, mate, you head down to Bunnings on a Saturday arvo.
We are going to hit the road. We are Junk Time Alpha Pod at Gmail, Twitter, Facebook, and the Gram. Go Hawks!
Go Baggers!